Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast, presented by Allied Home Security.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Wednesday to all of you. Nice to be with you. Appreciate you getting up with us. We are with you till 10 a.m. this morning. I am Sean Pendergast. God, we got a lot to get into. He's Seth Payne. What's happening, Seth? How are you, buddy?
Oi!
Oi! Not a trick question. I just want to know how you're doing.
I was... Why did I sound confused?
You sounded startled.
Well, I am a little bit startled still.
Yeah.
Because I did this thing yesterday where I was... I had a lot going on, so I was going to try to be super efficient. So I actually... I deleted Twitter off my phone for a good chunk of time. I lined up a bunch of articles to read because I had to drive like 3 hours last night. So I listened to the articles while I was driving. Went home, got to bed, got a tight 5 hours of sleep, woke up, and I was like, yeah, okay, I didn't miss anything last night. Oh, Sean Payton resigned. I guess I kind of missed
hold
that.
Hold up, you found out this morning that he resigned?
Yeah, kind of a big deal.
How did that stay off your radar? That was the biggest news yesterday.
I was super organized, and I thought, all right, if there's any huge news, but I forgot that without Twitter, I'm not going to get notifications of the big news from the big hitters or anything.
Yeah.
So I was listening to in-depth articles about the Sean McVay, Brandon Staley partnership back when they were together and how they iron sharpens iron and steel sharpens steel. I listened to different things about all the playoff teams. I listened to a couple of things from Clinton Show's show.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just missed all the completely 100% the biggest news of the day.
Hullabaloo of all the things you were listening to, you lost the news that Sean Payton is stepping away from the Saints.
Yeah. Okay. But that was 4 hours ago that I learned about that. So now I'm good to go.
You've had time to digest it.
I'm all caught up.
Okay, let's test it out then. Let's test drive this. Hey Seth, what do you think of Sean Payton walking away from the Saints?
I think that he got a little taste of Hollywood, albeit a Kevin James weird, twisted,
dipping the toe in the water with having a movie made about him has given him the Hollywood bug?
I think he saw Kevin James playing Sean Payton, and Sean Payton himself said, look, I can do better than that. I know how to play Sean Payton better than this Kevin James fella. Yeah.
I can do a spot-on Sean Payton.
And I'm only one quarter joking about that. No, I'm three quarters joking about it. The Hollywood stuff.
Yeah.
But I, you know, like he's hinted that he might want to get into doing television.
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, for years and years and years working with Drew Brees, an extreme salary cap situation, 1 year hiatus for Spygate issues, or excuse me, Bountygate issues.
Yeah.
I think he's just tired, probably. He's 58 years old, and he needs a break, and he doesn't have it in him for this. You know, you've heard stories about sometimes when Saban was putting his toe in the water, Nick Saban, about potentially leaving. Was he up for a new challenge at Texas or elsewhere? And I think Saban got to the point where, no, he's not ready for a new challenge.
Right.
He was in his upper 50s, early 60s, and no, it's time for him to just stay put. Like, if Alabama all of a sudden went south and was going to face extreme challenges, I could see Nick Saban stepping away because he just didn't have it in him anymore.
Yeah.
And I think that's where Sean Payton is probably right now.
Yeah, I think there's two things to this. I think there's one, what is Sean Payton – well, really three. Like, one, what is Sean Payton going to go do? There's talk that he's going to get into TV. There's talk that there's a spot at Fox waiting for him if Troy Aikman decides to go take a big offer from Amazon to be their football expert. Number two is, how soon until he coaches the Dallas Cowboys? Number three, and this is the one I want to get into off the top here, because it is somewhat tangentially related to the Texans, there's now another job opening in the NFL. You know, the Texans are already paddling upstream trying to compete with these other seven job openings. Now the Saints job is open. How good is the Saints job? I almost feel like when players look at going to the Saints and you go, wow, that'd be an ideal situation. Sean Payton is the big reason why the Saints are viewed as a good place to go play football. If the coach is no longer there, how good a coaching opening is that?
Not to mention, if the Saints had any kind of an outside shot at getting a Deshaun Watson, maybe even Aaron Rodgers, I doubt it, but you never know. I think that all goes out the window with Sean Payton gone.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, any of the things that were previously you would have said that are good about the Saints, you're right, they take an extreme nosedive. I wonder if the Saints end up looking at the Texans' 2021 season and thinking to themselves, you know, maybe – Maybe we hire a David Culley type coach. Maybe they hire David Culley himself, which honestly, I would get super excited about. I would be happy for David Culley.
If he
becomes kind of like he's not a fixer. Whatever the opposite of a fixer is, he's not a destroyer. He's kind of a limper alonger. And we'll bring David Culley in to keep a positive environment while we cycle through a lot of the ugliness. They can blame all that on the GM or whomever else. And then on to the next guy. David Culley can turn this into a steady gig.
David Culley is the babysitter that just lets the kids go do whatever it is they want to do.
Babysitter is... No, David Culley is your iPad. Yeah. It's like, you swear you'll never do it. You swear you'll never do it, but then all of a sudden you're like, all right, I'm giving the kids the iPad.
Yeah, here we go.
There you go.
There's Alvin Kamara playing Candy Crush. Yep, there he is. that's not a good job, I don't think, the Saints. I don't think it's a great head coaching job.
It's still, according to at least one power ranking by Judy Batista I saw on NFL.com,
yeah,
it's still better than the Texans. Remember, Sean, okay. The Texans, according to everybody nationally, the Texans exceeded expectations. Why is that? You might say because the preseason win total was 4. They ended up winning 4. But people say they exceeded expectations because all these people predicted the Texans to win 0 games.
Yeah.
So that... The first counter argument I get to that when people say it is like, well, but Tyrod Taylor, you know, got injured. Though with the preseason win totals, no, the preseason win total was done by people that knew that David Culley was the coach.
Yeah.
They knew that Davis Mills as a draft pick and the first draft pick of the Texans last year was probably going to get a chance to play half the games.
Yep.
Like this is it all pretty much worked out as they would have expected. So stop saying that the Texans exceeded expectations last year.
So is it a better job than the Texans? Because they are $8 billion over the cap and they've got cap issues stretched into the rest of this decade, it feels like, because of all the contracts they gave to Drew Brees. They don't have the draft capital the Texans do. Like, is it a better job than the Texans?
I think that Mickey Loomis is an established GM who's had a successful – he's been at the helm of a successful franchise that has very acrobatically managed the salary cap for a long time. So I think there's a certain – I think there's a certain trust level with Mickey Loomis that's not going to be there with Nick Caserio yet because he's been on the job for just a little bit over a year.
Yeah, and Payton in his press conference yesterday, Sean Payton, if you're just waking up, Sean Payton stepping away from the New Orleans Saints, he still has 3 years left on his contract. So if you think he's going to pop up at another head coaching job this job cycle, just know that whoever wants him is going to have to make a trade with the Saints to get him. He gushed about ownership, too, yesterday in his press conference.
Yeah, and I wonder, too, you know, it was always a little bit dicey with Tom Benson just because, you know, Tom's family wanted to say he was incompetent. And Tom was like, no, I'm competent.
Right.
I know you don't like my wife, but screw you guys. I'm going to get mine before I go.
Yep.
And so now with Gail Benson at the helm, it seems to have steadied things. At least there's no drama necessarily. Saints fans, feel free to correct us on any of this, but that's the impression I've gotten from afar.
Feel free to correct us, but do not start your text with "you do know that ... I don't have it in me this morning to read those. I'm hungover, all right? I went to the Rocket game last night.
You're doubly hungover.
Yes.
You're hungover from the alcohol and the the dashed hopes and dreams.
The 30-point beatdown at the hands of a bad Spurs team. Yes, I'm a beat-up man this morning.
Don't worry. They'll go on a three-game win streak at some point in the next couple months, and everybody will be telling you what a loser you are forever doubting the Rockets.
Bailing on the Rockets,
Can't believe you can't see the greatness that's right here with these Rockets.
Yep. All right, so we're off and running on a Wednesday. John McClain in studio with us in the 8 o'clock hour. So Sean Payton stepping away from the Saints. We got second interviews going on with some of these coaching candidates. So someday we will get a hire in the NFL, I promise you, and maybe even one here in Houston for a new head coach. So speaking of Sean Payton going on TV, TV executives are naming other possibilities as head coaches being on television. Would you like these guys, these three guys, on your television screen explaining football to you? That's next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you on a Wednesday. John McClain is in with us in the 8 o'clock hour. Obviously, a lot of stuff to get into with John McClain. So Sean Payton walks away from the Saints yesterday. The belief is, Seth, that he is going to get into television, and he did not close that door yesterday in his press conference. He openly said he would be interested in doing some television next year. So the thought is that Troy Aikman could take a big offer from Amazon. Apparently, Amazon is getting ready to drop all sorts of money in the sports broadcasting realm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Be careful, bosses. Maybe Amazon's coming for Payne and Pendergast, baby.
Supposedly, Bezos is always on the lookout to purchase a franchise.
Yeah.
If you can scrounge up the cash, apparently.
Yeah. Get some of his rich friends involved. Hey, I got this investment opportunity. Jeff, like you're worth $8 trillion.
Just drop some pocket change
right
on an NFL franchise.
That's what it would be for him.
That's
crazy.
I know. So
what would you think about Peyton taking Troy Aikman's spot alongside Joe Buck?
I think I'd like that. Yeah. I don't know if I think those two would probably jibe pretty well. I don't hate Joe Buck, but I'm just not a huge fan of him.
Right.
I feel like he sucks a little bit of the energy out of some big moments at times.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's where I wonder if with Peyton as a color commentator, is a first-time person, you got to be matched up with somebody who's going to be kind of nurturing about it, I suppose. And maybe Buck would be. I don't know.
Well, this is getting fast-forwarded straight to the A-team on Fox.
So this would be like Tony Romo.
Yeah, and I think Jim Nance was perfect for Tony Romo.
Well, you know, the thing about Romo, where I was skeptical, and like, look, I think like a lot of people, he's not my cup of tea. I admire and enjoy his enthusiasm. I feel like he's like ridiculously unprepared at times, and I think he also doesn't understand the rules of football, but I do enjoy the little nuggets of wisdom that he drops about quarterbacking. That stuff's really good. I think the biggest thing with him was that executives, TV producers and executives and play-by-play guys had been in meetings with him for years. So Jim Nantz knew just from doing those pregame briefings on Fridays and Saturdays that Romo was really, really good in those meetings and in that capacity. And I would imagine that, you know, sometimes, like, so I was skeptical of Romo because I'd never really seen that side of him.
Yeah.
I thought he was just always kind of a goofy guy with a punchable face. And I think with Peyton, it would probably be the same because he doesn't seem like he's got the most electric personality.
Right.
But when do you see him? You see him in press conferences and you see him in Bountygate depositions.
Yeah,
so it's
right.
Like those are the most personality conducive environments. The producers have seen them, so I'm guessing if they're ready to shift them right to the A team, that they feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, I think. Well, and think about it too, Seth. Think about all the guys who are color analysts right now in NFL football. I can't think of one team that has a head coach in it right now, a broadcast team. It's all players right now. It's Aikman, it's Collinsworth, it's Romo. I'm talking about the frontline teams. On ESPN, it's Greasy and Riddick. It's all former players right now. I wouldn't mind a former head coaching perspective, you know, like John Madden used to give us.
As long as he's willing to question decision-making.
Right.
That's the biggest problem with coaches, is that they almost can't turn that gene off. When it comes to like their need to network.
Yeah.
I mean, like the NFL, look, this is how the NFL works, everybody. The coaches are there forever, right? They work long days. But during those long days, there actually is a lot of waiting around time because you're waiting for, well, not as much as it used to, but you got to wait for film to be edited, clipped, all that stuff. You're getting other, you know, your stats are getting put together. There's a little bit of waiting around. The vast majority of downtime is spent, or at least probably the biggest chunk of downtime by NFL coaches is spent just kibitzing about stuff around the league and keeping up relations and networking and doing all that stuff. So, like, the non-actual football stuff is there's a big part of the game that's just networking.
Yeah.
And I think guys that are successful coaches are also really good networkers.
Yeah.
And, you know, because they got to know who their next – once you're a head coach – You're not looking to network upwards. You're looking to network downwards and know who the hot assistant coaches are and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think by the time you get to the booth, even if you don't plan on going back into coaching, that's just you've spent 40 years of your life in that world where you're not going to publicly criticize another coach.
Yep.
And that's where it gets a little dicey with ex-coaches. Rex Ryan just doesn't give a damn.
Right.
And so he fires away. Like, take me as I am. Go screw yourself. If I never work again, I'm not worried
about
it.
But that's how he was as a coach, too, when he was actually in the game. Like, Rex is he's very brash. Two other names that came up in an article that I read. There was an article that talked about David Hill, who used to work at Fox he was an executive at Fox. Boy, he just obliterated the Monday Night Football crew. He said it's unlistenable.
With Greasy and Riddick?
And Riddick and Steve Levy. Yeah, he destroyed it about how awful it is. The two other names that got brought up as coaches right now for potential broadcasters. I want to just get your gut reaction to both of these names. We mentioned Sean Payton, the other two names, Pete Carroll and Sean McVay. Those are the hot names, reportedly, among broadcasting executives to be on broadcast teams as color analysts.
Pete Carroll would be awesome because I think he would very quickly transition fully and completely into a Bill Walton type. One who's maybe a little bit more plugged in and, you know, obviously up to speed with everything.
Less like stoned,
Not quite as stoned.
Right. Less stoned.
But he's got a little bit. He's very West Coast, isn't he? Pete Carroll is.
Big time, yeah.
I don't even know where he was born or anything, but he's very West Coast by now.
No doubt.
Sean
McVay.
Wait, did you say Sean McVay?
Yes. Yes.
Like imminently? Like if he wins a Super Bowl or something?
If he were to want to get into broadcasting,
okay.
Then that's one that the executives reportedly, as they're putting their list on the whiteboard, he is a target of desire for these executives. And he's like 35. I don't think he's leaving coaching anytime soon.
He does that podcast with Pete Schrager.
Yeah.
Is it Schrager?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And that's really good. And he actually gets into it. It's not just like – it's not Pete Schrager asking Sean McVay a bunch of questions. They bring in other coaches that McVay knows or wants to talk to. And McVay asks questions. You know, and like he's got a good personality for it. Yeah. He's got a little bit of like I recognize now in athletes and coaches when they first get into media the very stuff that I did when I first got in, where he needs a little bit of gentle coaching. Like when you ask a question of somebody, don't spend 2 minutes asking.
Make the question about you.
Don't use it as an avenue for you to dispense your own philosophy.
Right, right.
And then at the end say, so you agree, right? Like, so there's a little bit of that. But
it's so hard not to, though.
The conversation and the repartee is pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. So McVay and Pete Carroll are those are the two hot names, supposedly. Boy, you could have made a lot of money before Sean Payton retired yesterday. No was plus 900. For him coaching the Saints next year.
Could have retired early.
9-1,
like,
yes.
Ironically, just like him.
Yes, yes.
58, retiring at 58. These bums. You know, these Gen Xers, they're not.
I know. He did a great job last year, too, coaching. I mean, he's walking away after one of his better coaching jobs.
It would have been one of those coach of the year type things where you just give credit for the
9-8 with Taysom Hill and Trevor Siemian and Ian Book quarterbacking games. Like,
it's like he pulled like a triple Lindy quadruple Sow Cow or something.
Yes.
He didn't execute it perfectly, but it was just enough.
A for effort.
One of our listeners said, no, we need super stoned Pete Carroll on the Nickelodeon broadcast.
Oh, yes, yes. I like. He would be really good on there.
Hey,
like grandfatherly.
Thing I could not get into.
Yeah. Our friends.
Nickelodeon.
I haven't even thought to ask. So our friends and listeners who maybe if you would consider yourself, it's early, the kids are listening, somebody who imbibes, do you guys like really enjoy that Nickelodeon podcast? Is it do you fire up your favorite recreational activity? And like, was there something about the Nickelodeon football broadcast that made it particularly fun to watch?
Yes, text in 713-572-4610. A longtime Patriots associate thinks that Josh McCown is the front runner for the Texans head coaching job. We'll let you hear from him next.
Oh, no.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, so Michael Lombardi was on with the afternoon guys yesterday. Clint Sterner in the show had Michael Lombardi on. He's one of our Odyssey NFL insiders. Of course, former front office executive with the Patriots, with the Browns. Spent some time with the Raiders, too, I think, right,
Seth? Yeah, multiple stints with Bill Belichick.
Yes.
In various capacities.
Yep. And so he was on with the guys yesterday afternoon, and they talked quite a bit about the Texans and their head coaching search. Here is Michael Lombardi on Josh McCown as a possibility for that vacancy.
I don't think they would have brought Josh McCown back in twice if they didn't think he was a front runner.
Oh, Michael. You think...
As Yogi Berra, you can learn a lot from seeing. You can see a lot with seeing, you know? I mean, you can. I mean, look, why would they bring him back in twice? I've never had a conversation about how Nick sees a head coach, but by the people that he's put down on that interview list, Hines Ward, those guys that have never really been in coaching very long, I think he sees it. I think he sees it differently than I see it.
All right, two guys that do not want Josh McCown as the next Texans head coach, Ron the Show Hughley and Michael Lombardi's dog.
Lassie, what are you trying to say? Are they trying to hire somebody with no coaching experience? Okay, what was he? A backup quarterback? Okay, I kind of like backup quarterbacks because they tend to know more about the scheme than the actual starters. But wait, he's got no coaching experience?
Where do you want us to go, boy?
They're trying to hire Josh McCown down by the abandoned well?
Josh McCown's at the old mill? Let's get out of here. Jinky, Scoob.
Yeah, let's mix some Scooby-Doo into it. I do like the – I like where we are now. One thing COVID did is because everybody's – or so many people are more accustomed to Zoom calls and everything now, it's actually kind of nice when you hear background noise.
Yeah.
I feel like, oh, okay, this feels like a slice of like a friendly Zoom call with your auntie.
I feel like Michael Lombardi was sharing that take as he was reaching into the oven, pulling out a tray of cookies for us.
Yeah.
And we're just sitting at his counter, and he's like, of course he's the front runner. Hang on one second. Let me turn the oven off. Why would they bring him in? Now, in all seriousness –
yeah.
This opinion, I'm not somebody who's in favor of them hiring Josh McCown.
Yeah.
This opinion troubled me because I think Michael Lombardi understands how this process goes.
The opinion troubles me. And remember, it is an opinion. Lombardi didn't pretend he was divulging any secrets here or anything.
Right.
He was kind of putting two together. But like when an informed person that's familiar with the players involved puts two and two together, yeah, that's what makes me nervous, is that he doesn't – he might think it's a ludicrous and an insane idea to hire somebody who doesn't have any coaching experience,
right,
other than just volunteer coaching with high school kids. But he thinks it's possible, despite knowing all these people. He doesn't think it's ridiculous that it could happen. He thinks it's ridiculous, but he thinks that it could happen. The one thing I would say about this that helps me sleep a little bit better is I don't think the Texans are necessarily divulging who their second interviews are. Where they're very open and upfront about announcing who the first interview is. So far, second interviews, like with the
Gannon,
though, that hasn't been like reported by the Texans whatsoever.
Right.
It's been reported that the Texans are planning on meeting with him, but that can be. As much as it feels like every single thing is leaked all the time, these things can be kept quiet when both parties want them to be.
Yeah, the thing I want to know more than anything else, aside from who do they think the front runner is this it? Like, is this the list? Is this what we're working off of? Are you putting in requests for anybody else? Have you put in requests for people who have said no to you? You know, it's been reported for a week that they put a request in on Kevin O'Connell. And the only news we've seen on Kevin O'Connell is that he's a finalist for the Denver job. We've not heard anything. You know, as you pointed out, Seth, the team has been very diligent about putting out posts on social media within minutes after completing first interviews with candidates. We've heard nothing about Kevin O'Connell. So that's what I want to know. Like, is the next Texans head coach on this list that we're looking at of first interviews? Like, is this it? Are you casting a wider net? Because I'll be honest with you, it's not the most impressive list of candidates, you know, for a job.
That's where I, you know, Clint asked me yesterday when I was on with them, you know, when are they going to start interviewing quality candidates? And my only answer to that was that I don't know what a quality candidate is in the NFL. because the vast majority of them end up getting fired within three seasons. So the quote-unquote quality candidates don't seem to be a very impressive crop of characters in any given year.
Right.
Every now and then, you know, you had the year that all the McVay acolytes got hired, and they've all worked, or they've worked out pretty well. But other than that, I don't know what a quality candidate is. So I maybe established it would be the more right word, or conventional. I'm okay with a atypical, unorthodox coaching search. The problem is, the last move the Texans had in terms of hiring a coach was a very unorthodox coaching move.
Yeah.
And that guy was fired after a year. I'd like to think that they, you know, kind of planned on that potentially happening, but we don't know for sure. So whenever it comes to the Texans doing things unorthodox, they really haven't earned the benefit of the doubt. If the Patriots or the Rams or somebody else does something unorthodox, you say, okay, look, this is kind of wacky, but they've done it before. The Texans have done it before, and they've always fallen flat on their faces. That's what makes me nervous.
Yes, that's the key. It's not just a bad football team that is making hints at doing something unorthodox for the first time.
Yeah.
It's a bad football team that is bad because of the unorthodox moves that they've made. You know, whether it's promoting Jack Easterby to the position that he's in. They've won 8 games the last 2 years, and he's one of the most hated sports figures in recent Houston history. Promoting Bill O'Brien to general manager. No other team in the league would have done that. He decimated this roster and this salary cap and everything else, and he turned the city against the football team. And then David Culley last year, I mean, it's hard to debilitate the Texans further than they were already debilitated. So hiring David Culley wasn't something that set the franchise back, but you burned a year with this guy as your head coach.
You know what the Texans are, Sean? When it comes to like presenting us with unorthodox ideas, I'm guessing a good chunk of people listening right now have had this experience. The Texans presenting you with an unorthodox idea is kind of like your buddy that wanted you to invest in his hemp farm. This was like the 19th business that he would have started in the last 17 years.
Right.
And you just know this guy by this point.
Yep.
But okay, look, in theory, yeah, I like the idea of a hemp farm. It seems to be like an exploding industry. It makes a lot of sense. But you have a track record of starting these companies and then moving on to the next thing
right.
6 months later. And farming is not the easiest profession. So that's, I'm sorry, Toby.
Yes.
I can't invest in your hemp farm. I apologize.
This sounds very specific. Googling Seth's friend's name, Toby.
I'm guessing 20% of our listeners right now have had some kind of a hemp farm experience.
Oh, yeah.
Where somebody, the person that has suggested the hemp farm to them is somebody that you know does not have it in them to be a farmer.
No. And he's on his ninth get-rich-quick scheme.
Because they had a grow lamp in their closet for 9 months in college, they think like, oh, yeah, I'm qualified. Qualified to grow hemp. Yeah.
Exactly. More from Michael Lombardi. He was on with the guys in the afternoon, Clint Sterner, in the show yesterday. They asked him about Nick Caserio's involvement, how immersed he is in the overall football operation with this team as the general manager.
I think the way things are down there, at least when they hired David Culley, you know, Nick was on the headset during the game. Nick was involved in the meetings. I mean, Nick is pretty more intimately involved as a general manager than probably any general manager I've ever really been around. I mean, he's right up there as a coach. So I think he's got to find somebody that fits his involvement. And if he wants to be involved, it certainly lends itself to hiring a head coach that doesn't have a lot of experience that he could rely on Nick to help him.
Yeah, and this is where I think I need a little bit of a mea culpa to our people.
Ooh.
Who have. Yeah, that's right. So this is me, Seth Payne, on bended knee, but then standing up, because come on, let's get real.
Right.
This is sports. I'm not going to make it that serious.
Yep.
A lot of people said, hey, Nick Caserio is only going to hire a guy that he can kind of direct and control, and that it won't be a even, you know, tete-a-tete relationship, whatever. I think people were correct, way more correct in that than I wanted to admit. And again, it's not necessarily bad. I think that's what it was like when Mike Tomlin was hired as a very young coach. I think a lot of times, I'd be curious, you know what? I know some people in LA, I'm going to talk to them about exactly what it was like with Sean McVay, who as a very young coach took over. I do think that, yeah, it's going to be a front office dominated system, but there's not anything inherently wrong with that as long as you have the right people in the front office.
Yeah.
That's where Caserio just has to prove himself, and frankly, and Jack Easterby has to prove that in whatever capacity he's being used now, which is still a very, very, very involved capacity in a lot of respects. Are they an organization that can be this way?
Yep.
So, well, some organizations are very successful doing it this way, but maybe not to this degree that Caserio will be involved. We got to see how it'll work out.
Yeah, one more from Lombardi along those lines. This is interesting, where he talks about how more organizations are becoming organizationally run as opposed to driven by the head coach. That's the trend he's seeing with the Texans here.
I think they want somebody who's going to be able that they can, the organization can help him carry through. And then, you know, as opposed to saying, okay, you're in charge of everything. You know, this is the old school. I'm writing a book about the Hall of Fame, and I've gone through the top 10 coaches of all time in the National Football League. And all those guys have had a long litany of time spent as assistants and moved up the ladder. And then they ran their teams, and the team ran through them. And I think the trend in the National Football League is the organizations will carry the team, not the head coach.
Yeah, you know, the interesting thing about Caserio and Easterby, and that book that I read, It's Better to Be Feared,
yep,
about the Patriots.
Yep.
You know, it. Caserio had a relationship, according to this book, with Bob Kraft. And, you know, and it wasn't behind Bill Belichick's back or anything. But Bob Kraft liked to quiz Caserio on stuff and, you know, learn from Caserio. But also, I think with Caserio and Easterby, Those guys at various times independently had been thinking about, okay, how do you extend this after Bill Belichick's gone?
Yeah.
Like, so how do you – so this is not – so building a team isn't something that just started once Caserio started in a new place. I think they were at least casually thinking about, like, okay, how do you extend this thing that they have with the Patriots? How do you make it good after Belichick's gone, when realistically you're probably going to get a coach who's not quite as good as Belichick?
Yep.
Your best hope would be that you get a guy who's not quite as good as Belichick, but is still really good. And I think a lot of it probably looked like exactly what we're seeing right now, is that if you have a certain structure in place, then you give the head coach every opportunity to thrive and succeed. Give him all the resources he needs, but that ultimately the structure in the front office is going to be in charge. That's, to keep touching on this theme, that's a little bit unorthodox. It's a little bit different. I'd be really, really on board with it if the Texans hadn't continually screwed up unorthodox and different.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I like
they're
the idea.
Three.
I like the idea.
Yeah.
But, like, this is where and I'm going to be patient with it, and I got to see how it all plays out. And so I'm nervous about it, but I'm kind of in it for the experiment. Kind of like I was excited to watch the Urban Meyer experiment. So that's how'd that work out?
Well, I was excited to watch that only because if it didn't work out, that actually worked to the Texans' benefit. You know,
yeah.
The Trevor Lawrence might be ruined in the process. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Wednesday. You can text the show, 713-572-4610. Someone said, this goes back to our conversation in the previous segment. Someone said, Tony Romo sounds like a kid in the candy shop when he announces a game. At first it was adorable, but now he won't stop bouncing off the walls.
Yeah, after the first 5 minutes, you're like, oh, it's cool, he's excited. And then 2 hours into it, you're like, you've already had to pay for 4 broken jars of candy. And now it's even worse because he's been eating sugar the whole time.
I don't know if you saw this. I saw this and I listened to it yesterday. Toucher and Rich up on the Sports Hub in Boston, our former sister station up in Boston. Very successful show up in Boston. Toucher went in on Romo. Like, I'm listening to this clip that I saw on Twitter, and he went, do we have it, Ben? He went in on Romo. I'm listening to this. I'm like, okay, I got to play this for Seth. Because Romo gets on your very last nerve.
And I like
days.
Toucher and Rich a lot.
Yeah. So here's Toucher and Rich on Tony Romo in some of the key moments of Sunday's classic between the Bills and the Chiefs.
To finish a full quarter like maybe ever. I mean, this is unbelievable. Back and forth. Big plays. Smart plays.
Okay. I mean, what is that? You people like that? That's $18 million? And whatever. I don't begrudge him the money. Listen, everyone should make more money. I love it. Everyone make as much money as you can. Hopefully I'll make some of it too. But the I mean, you're telling me that that's what you want to hear? Like, what's wrong with him? And I take it that's after, like, something within the last – either that's the Buffalo touchdown or that's Mahomes getting them in position for the field goal. So it's something, like, massive that's happened in that game, and he ruined it. What? Why is that better than crowd noise? Or why is that not as good as – how is that better? Yeah, how is that better than crowd noise? How is crowd noise not better than that?
Yeah.
I'd rather just hear the crowd noise.
You know what? That listening to it, obviously, it's bugging me. But I think it was just because that game was so insane yesterday. It didn't bother me as
well,
much.
Well, that leads to my point that I can't. You're I don't know why they throw so much money at these guys. Like, who like goes like, wow, Aikman's the greatest? It's like Aikman doesn't bother me. Like, it's just if the ability not to bother you. That's all. And you can do that by staying out of the way.
You know what? I disagree a little bit because I would agree. I used to have that exact same feeling. But then you realize the guys with very little personality start to bother you too because they're not adding anything to the broadcast.
Yeah.
Everybody's – I don't think – I mean, it's a losing proposition. I don't think there's a single color commentator on earth that's got – close to 100% approval.
No.
A lot of that, like, for a lot of the reasons that people really like Tony Romo, those very same reasons are the things that drive other people insane.
Yep.
You know, like, people who love his enthusiasm, there's also a big group of people that get so annoyed by his enthusiasm. And I'm one of them.
Well, what do you think?
Oh, they got three timeouts. Yeah.
What do you think? What do you think plays to the biggest audience, though? Like,
I think Romo.
Yeah.
Like the I think just the emotion of it and the fact that he's so excited about it. I think that, and because of that, it kind of masks a lot of his deficiencies as an analyst. I'm not going to say colored commentator. I'll say an analyst. Some of the very best stuff he does is when he explains exactly what the quarterback is thinking.
Yeah.
But I feel like we've seen less and less of that as he gets further removed from being an active quarterback.
Right.
I don't think he actually scouts the opponents all that much. There's times when he's done Texans games, and I know Texans fans have noticed this. Every color commentator usually is not going to be as informed as ardent fans of the team. That just comes with the territory because you guys watch him all the time. The color commentator just drops in a little bit, but he's been just flat out so wrong about certain things with the Texans when he does Texans games that it's just evident that he didn't watch any games at all before his preparation.
Yep.
And then there's times in the games too. This starts to drive me insane. Tell me, everybody, even if you like Roma, how has this not started to drive you insane? He's often very wrong in his predictions about what's about to happen. Like, extremely wrong.
Yeah.
And I don't know how I keep seeing people say, he calls out the plays and he's always right.
Because,
I don't get it.
Because
I don't understand
because it was such a revolutionary thing when he did it the first time that people are latched on to that still.
But even then, though, when he was doing it, I would go back and watch and he would be like 50% wrong.
Yeah.
But because he gets it right 50% of the time, people would latch onto that, which usually I would assume people would more latch onto the negative. But when it comes to predictions, I think people just remember the good predictions. This is key because they weren't actually gambling money based on Romo's predictions.
Right.
Because they were in the moment. So if there's no gamblers getting burned by it because he's proven wrong like 1 second after he makes a prediction, it doesn't really register.
Seth, you are wise. Absolutely. All right, one of our most loyal and beloved listeners has threatened to boycott us if the Texans, not us, but if the Texans do this one thing. That's next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.